Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We go to the phones. NFL Insider. You can check him out at claytonfootball.com. Host of the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle, as well as the Schooled with the Professor podcast. John Clayton joining us here on 95.7 The Game. John, as always, thank you for your time. We start with a two-part question. Number one, how likely is it, in your opinion, that the Pittsburgh Steelers trade Antonio Brown by the start of the new league year in March? And number two, how serious do you think the 49ers may be in acquiring Brown's services?
I think it's 100% that he's going to get traded, and I think there's a decent chance he could end up in the Bay Area, both in either in San Francisco or in Oakland. I think, actually, Oakland would have a better chance to do something because, you know, they have three draft choices. And, of course, I think you can pretty well anticipate that the Steelers would like a number one. Now, again, if they can't get it, they can't get it, and they think they have to move on from Antonio Brown. And San Francisco, in the top, you know, the four top teams in the draft all need wide receiver help. And, you know, you're not going to trade a top four pick for Antonio Brown knowing that this is a good defensive draft and you're giving away a potential Pro Bowl player of the future. So now what you start to look at is what teams can put together good second round options or teams that are going to be bidding in the low first round that might be able to do things. And so I could easily see, you know, Denver maybe using their first round pick or putting something together. I could see that the Raiders have three first round picks, and I think that John Gruden would be interested in getting a guy like Antonio Brown because I know he was a big fan of Antonio's work ethic and talent. So I think there's a decent chance of, if you start to stack it all up, I think there's a good chance he could be in the Bay Area.
When you start to vet the player and you look at what went wrong in Pittsburgh, how do we assign blame between the head coach, the quarterback, and Antonio Brown?
Well, I mean, I think you have to put some blame on Mike Tomlin for allowing it to happen. I mean, because remember, you know, he survived the Facebook showing of Mike Tomlin's post-game press conference, which didn't help things. And, you know, he does have that diva effect. And, of course, you know, I think the one thing is now you kind of know you have to put your foot down and not allow some of these things to happen. And if they do, you have to have sanctions for them to happen. But that's the thing. I mean, you know, when you're on a play, you're a player, you've been on a team a long period of time with the same coach, I mean, you tend to kind of get a little bit of a break, and sometimes there's a little bit of a wear and tear on the relationship between the player and the coach because they've heard every kind of speech and everything being done. So I think that I just watched it this year in Seattle. You know, the players in some cases have been there long enough that you know, they started to wear and they needed to probably be moved on, and you know, they've all gone on to better things and good things. I think the same thing now has to happen with Antonio Brown.
Professor, you look at this Niner team and you think that, hey, they need a lot. They need a pass rusher. You maybe need another interior lineman. You need cornerback, maybe offensive lineman. How did they best go about this? Would you spend lots of money in free agency to get a pass rusher when you think about some of the guys that's from Dallas, Lawrence, maybe pass rusher? You look at Denver, what they have, a plethora of pass rushers. Do you think the Niners are going to address that in the offseason before the draft? How should they go about that to building this team?
They've got the second pick in the draft, and I think it's better served to take in, particularly in a draft like this, where you have so many pass rushers and so many pass rushers up top. So I think that, you know, naturally, the guy that they would probably prefer would be Nick Bosa, but it looks like he's going to go to Arizona. So now what they have to do at number two is decide if a Josh Allen is a Leo, if some of the other guys are going to be that Leo-type position that you can rush the quarterback. It's better to do it in the draft, particularly in a draft like this. And so in a lot of ways, you know, this particular group of players coming into the league can help out and take care of that as opposed to spending too much money. Because the one thing I think is a caveat in free agency, because I don't think it's going to be a good year in free agency, and you look at the top 20 signings last year in free agency, and most of them didn't live up to what you pay for. So I think strategically, you know, what you need to do, instead of paying for the $17, $18 million guy, you're paying more for the $6 to $7 to $8 million guy because there's more success in that than going high-end. I mean, you go through that list of, you know, Andrew Norwell, you go through the list of Nate Solder. I mean, a lot of those guys, you have so many guys get hurt. So I think it's better, I mean, you need to use free agency, but the draft is the most important thing.
NFL insider John Clayton with us here on 95.7 The Game. What do you think the future holds for Seattle Seahawks safety Earl Thomas? Richard Sherman here with the San Francisco 49ers has kind of made some overtures to Earl Thomas. Obviously, the Niner fan base getting excited at the proposition of adding a talented player to the secondary. Could you see something like that working out?
Yeah, I can definitely see that because, again, it's like, I think there's definitely going to be interest there, even though, again, I like Adrian Colbert as a free safety. But I think that, they have the money to be able to do something. And as long as he's healthy, they know what they're getting in Earl Thomas. And so I think that's one that you can almost count on. Now, it would come down ultimately to, I think, Dallas. And I think Dallas feels good enough about the young players they have in the secondary, where I think that even though I know there's a comfort level there with Colbert, I think why not add a Pro Bowl guy, a guy that has Hall of Fame credentials, and as long as his legs are healthy, I think that could happen.
What would the price be like for Earl Thomas, considering where he is in his career, and especially looking at the possible scepter of a collective bargaining agreement coming up in 2020?
Well, it could go one of two ways. Now, again, if everybody thinks that the health is there and he checks out, then I think it could just be 13 or 14 million. Now, he's going to angle for more, but he can probably get a 3-year deal, 4-year deal at 13. But if there's still worry, because remember, he's broken the leg 2 times in 3 years. If that's going to be the case, then it starts to go into like a 1-year deal with 9 that you can probably have to put some options in there to make it a 3 or 4 year deal. So I guess, so depending on his recovery and depending on where, because again, the one thing that he worried about, because remember, when he first broke his leg in 2016, he thought he was going to have to retire because his game is speed. And if a broken leg takes away from his speed, which it didn't in the first break, then he's not going to be worth as much. If his speed's still going to be there, then I think that everything should go and he should get 13-plus because Eric Berry's the highest paid at 13, and you feel there's going to be an increase from that.
John, you heard Cliff Kingsbury, what he talked about, Kyler Murray talking about, hey, I would take him in the first pick if I was, this is when he was a coaching, though, in college, and he said he'd take him the first pick overall. Now he has a chance to do that in Arizona, but you're saying that it's Bosa. How is the young quarterback, only 5'9", maybe, how is he going to fare in the National Football League, and where do you see this guy getting drafted?
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. Cliff Kingsbury is having enough trouble hiring coaches right now. I don't think he's going to be in charge of personnel. That's one thing. I mean, he tried to get Steve Sarkisian, and that didn't work out. He went over to over to Alabama. And so, Cliff's not picking the players. In fact, he's even letting Steve Keim, the general manager, help out in hiring the coaches. So that voice is one where he's trying to help a young player out. And in the case of Murray, I think at the moment he's a low first-round pick. Now, that's because 5'9 is going to certainly discount him. And but again, you go back last year, right around this time, Baker Mayfield was considered to be a low first-round pick. And now that he's coming into the draft, he can start warming things up and seeing if he can get it better. And it does look as though there's going to be 4 first-round quarterbacks right now, even though that may be an overdrafting just because of the need at the quarterback position for young quarterbacks. But I think right now you put him kind of in that Lamar Jackson role toward the bottom of the first round, and then as he starts to work out and do the things that he can do, maybe his stock will rise.
John Clayton, NFL insider, claytonfootball.com, with us here on 95.7 The Game. A lot of talk about it in the wake of the Patriots' blowout win over the Chargers this past weekend. I wanted to get your thoughts. Do you see Philip Rivers eventually being enshrined in Canton one day?
I do. I mean, it certainly hurts that he doesn't have that one trip to the Super Bowl, but I think there's an acknowledgement he's the best quarterback maybe to ever not get to a Super Bowl. I would hope so because, I mean, you look at his numbers, you look at the way that he plays. I mean, he's got all the credentials to be there. First ballot, probably not, but I think that ultimately he will get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
As we heap accolades on Tom Brady, and it's easy to do so, is his 8 consecutive appearances in the AFC Championship maybe the most underrated of them?
I just think that the 5 Super Bowls probably takes precedence that he's won. The 8 is probably take a little bit under the radar, but it's just absolutely incredible. I mean, to think now that here he's played 38 playoff games, 38, and he's played so well that he's been able to get 25 wins at home in Foxborough in the playoffs. I mean, these numbers are absolutely staggering. That's why it's unfortunate that at one point I had to kind of put Tom Brady over Joe Montana as the greatest quarterback ever. But I think when you look at the numbers and you look at the success, you have to do that. He's the greatest of all time,
Professor. You're right. It's unprecedented what Tom Brady's been able to do. When you look at the ageless wonders, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, can you see that being a Super Bowl? And if you see Kansas City and the the Rams, what can they do to stop both these teams to seem like they're heading toward a crash course?
Yeah, I mean, that would be a great matchup because now you've got the two quarterbacks in the fifth decades of their lives still playing. It's kind of remarkable, but I think it's going to be very difficult for both visiting teams to be able to win. First off, I mean, you look at Tom Brady's record in road games in the playoffs, and even during this streak of eight consecutive trips to the championship game, he's lost two on the road. He's 0-2 on the road with two losses in Denver, where he scored a total of 34 points. And then you look back and he's not won a road playoff game since 2006. He's coming off a road record of 3-5 this year. And then you look at the Arctic blast that's going to be there that's not going to help. I mean, it's going to be in the minus wind chill area. And, and when you're talking about the night game, it could be -3, -4 degrees. So that makes it more difficult. On the other side, as good as the Rams are, I mean, you can see that Drew Brees is phenomenal in the Superdome. I mean, he's down by 14 points. He easily overcomes that, gets the victory. He's 6-0 in home games with Sean Payton in the Dome. I think that the home teams prevail in this weekend.
NFL Insider, you can check him out at claytonfootball.com. He's the host of the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle, as well as the Schooled with the Professor podcast. The great John Clayton with us here on 95.7 The Game. John, dynamite insight as always. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.